You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Caudette. Idaho extremist groups are doxing public and private individuals when they disagree with either legal orders or they have opposing viewpoints. That's the conclusion of a new in-depth report from our Boise State Public Radio reporter James Dawson and Audrey Dutton, senior investigative reporter with the Idaho Capital Sun. They looked at several recent high-profile cases and at the line between free speech and victimizing someone. Both are joining us live today to talk more about this in-depth investigation. I want to thank both of you for being on the program today.
Hey, thanks, Gemma.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. So, Jimmy, let me start with you. You and Audrey looked at several incidents, including one involving St. Luke's Hospital, Ammon Bundy, and a child. Get us updated, refresh our memories on what this issue was and what happened.
Sure. I think Audrey could probably speak better to this since she wrote that part of the story. But go ahead, Audrey.
Right. So there was a child protection case involving the grandchild, an infant grandchild of one of Ammon Bundy's associates. And there's a lot of backstory there, but long story short, it led to doxing of the social worker who was involved, one nurse practitioner, a physician at St. Luke's, and a campaign, a call to action campaign to get people to call St. Luke's Hospital. And then that led to jamming up the phone lines there. And eventually, Ammon Bundy put out a video, and shortly after, St. Luke's went into lockdown in downtown Boise because of a security threat that they had received. And so they had to go on diversion, and patients had to be sent away from the emergency room. And that was kind of one of several incidents.
Mm-hmm. Right, because there was another incident when someone left flyers in a Boise neighborhood that had the phone number and the home address of a judge and of a deputy prosecuting attorney. So why then were these two individuals targeted?
Ammon Bundy's been arrested several times, and so he's gone before judges and had prosecutors assigned to his cases. In this situation, Ammon had not complied with his sentence for community service. He had submitted to the judge hours that he'd spent doing campaign work and, instead of community service, and so the judge had him go to jail for not complying with his sentence. And so the flyers listed, they provided the photos, names, home addresses, and contact information for the judge and the prosecutor who were assigned to that particular case. And those were distributed as they were kind of cast as, hey, neighbor, did you know that two of our neighbors did X, Y, and Z? And it essentially accused them of being judicial extremists, quote, tormenting the good people of Idaho, and said that Ammon was being held in solitary confinement in the Ada County Jail, which was true. I reached out to the Ada County Sheriff's Office, and they confirmed he was in. He was separated from the other population because he'd asked to be. So that was on his request. That was not something that, you know, was intended to punish him or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think go ahead, Jimmy. Yeah. Talk about that, please.
Yeah. I was just going to add like another interesting note to when Audrey mentioned that the video that Ammon put out, submitting the call to action at St. Luke's prior to the lockdown, that was actually, at least from the video that I saw, it sure looked to be in the Ada County courtroom or courthouse where he was having that hearing to decide his fate for one of those trespassing cases and whether or not his 40 hours of community service on the campaign trail should actually count.
Mm-hmm. And I do think it's important, as you mentioned, Audrey, about this issue of solitary confinement, because in these flyers that have been passed around, it says that he's basically a political prisoner, right? He is being held in solitary confinement. As you said, I mean, he was being held in solitary confinement because not only did he request it, but he requested it in order to keep himself safe from the general population.
Right. And it said that, you know, it was causing a hardship on his family. And I don't know, that might be true, but it, you know, it omitted the information that he'd requested to be in, separated from the general population. But yes, it talked about him as a political prisoner, that basically this was an effort to, you know, it's kind of the same theme that we've seen a lot of in the past few years, mm-hmm. of authority trying to silence dissent. And in this case, it was a case of, you know, somebody who had been convicted of a crime not complying with their sentence. And so mm-hmm. that's why he was punished for that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a theme to, you know, stretching back to his involvement at his father's ranch in Nevada in 2014, where federal agents were confronting him over unpaid grazing fees on public lands, and his 2016 armed takeover of the federal wildlife refuge in Oregon, and the ensuing cases that happened there, where he was held in, in jail, and was eventually acquitted on both of those occasions.
And Jimmy, let's go back to, gosh, it's been almost 2 years, I think, now, with the incident with former Ada County Commissioner Diana Lachiando, and what happened with her and her family, her children in particular, because this made national headlines. And it seems that maybe, Jimmy, was that almost like the jumping off point of these extremist groups feeling that they could frankly do this and get away with it?
Well, I mean, it certainly was, at least in my mind, the highest profile example that we could think mm-hmm. of. And you're right, it was almost 2 years ago, December 2020. And so for people who might not remember, this happened during a Central District Health Board meeting at that time. And that day, board members were considering a new proposal that would have limited gathering sizes and implemented a new mask mandate for the four county region in the health district. And something to remember too is that this was just as COVID-19 vaccines were becoming available to a select group of people. They weren't going to be widely available for another few months, and cases were spiking at the time, which is what kind of prompted the order. And so Diana Lachiando, the former Ada County Commissioner, had called into the meeting from her office at the Ada County Courthouse, but she soon interrupted the meeting, frantically saying through tears that protesters had showed up at her house where her son was home alone and that she needed to go. And, you know, one of the people that we mentioned in the story, David Pettinger, was one of three people who were eventually arrested and prosecuted for that protest. And there was a video that was eventually deleted from Facebook that showed them banging on buckets, setting off air horns, and playing clips from the movie Scarface in front of her house. So when we published the story last week, only Pettinger's case had made its way fully through the court system. He had eventually pleaded guilty to vandalizing property and is currently on unsupervised probation through August. He also had another arrest in 2021, just a few weeks later, for another protest. And those cases, at least his probation terms, are aligned. And so he's on unsupervised probation through August, but both of those sentences are what's called a withheld judgment, which means that if he successfully completes those probation terms, then those crimes will be wiped from his record.
And Jimmy, my understanding is that the two of you, you and Audrey, were able to at least through social media correspond with this Pettinger individual.
We were, yeah. So over Twitter, you know, he was working at the time that we were finishing the story. And so we, you know, I exchanged a couple messages through Twitter. You know, he's a man in his 40s. He lives in Eagle. He's really one of the most visible members of these types of groups who have demonstrated throughout the pandemic. You know, he's regularly dressing up in costumes to try to make his points, which is why I said he's, you know, pretty visible. People might have seen his mugshot when he was dressed as the Joker from Batman after he got arrested at the Idaho Capitol a couple years ago. Last summer at a state GOP meeting, for instance, he dressed up as a pageant queen. He had a sash that spelled out the name of Jane Doe, who was the 19-year-old legislative intern who accused a former state representative of raping her. And he's not shy about challenging elected officials or those who agree with them when it comes to the public health measures that we've seen during the pandemic. And so when I talked to him, you know, I asked, you know, why are you doing this? Why do you, I guess, repost, because he denied making any of these flyers. He just reposted them is what he said. And you know, he believes that free speech is absolute and that people need to be held accountable for their actions. You know, he's been at the center stage of all of these protests. He's created an effigy of Republican Representative Greg Cheney, which is a stuffed dog wearing a shirt that says Cheney, and it's usually hanging by a noose and sometimes attached to a pitchfork.
Let me reintroduce both of you if you're just joining us. We're talking with Boise State Public Radio reporter James Dawson, along with Audrey Dutton, who is the senior investigative reporter with the Idaho Capitol Sun. Both of them collaborated into an in-depth look at the doxing of people here in Idaho. So get onto both of those websites to read the article. It's fascinating. So Audrey, in all of the reporting that you did, I mean, Jimmy mentioned, you know, David Pettinger's beliefs as to free speech being absolute. Is this the thought process, generally speaking, for these groups of people who are protesting, who are doxing? I mean, I am just so curious as to why they believe that this is okay to do.
I mean, I don't want to presume to know what's going through their minds.
Yeah.
I think some of them have publicly said, you know, we're holding powerful people accountable by, showing up and telling them what we think. And, you know, in the case of like legislators, they are public elected officials. They appear on the ballot. Many times their home addresses are on the legislative website, but the social worker, the healthcare providers, law enforcement, you know, frontline law enforcement workers, it may be a different issue there. And I talked with Luke Malik, who is a former prosecutor and a former state legislator, and talked with Representatives Greg Cheney and Brooke Green as well, about kind of what the legal boundaries are here. And there are several different statutes that could potentially apply in these kinds of cases. The one that seems to most closely apply in a case where, you know, you're giving out someone's home address, you're showing up at their house, could potentially be stalking. But there's no, you know, there's no law on the books that says you can't go to someone's house and picket outside of their house. And that's what Representatives Cheney and Green had proposed last year. They said that they were told if they just dropped the bill, that protesters would stop with this particular tactic, and they didn't. And so they're planning on bringing that legislation back in the next session.
And Jimmy, can we talk a little bit about this part of the story that you wrote where, you know, in this, two of the people who were proponents of the protest at St. Luke's Hospital, who asked for, did a call to action as well, asking people to show up, they were doxxed. Their information was given out. And in a Facebook Live, they, you know, they talked about how this was not okay. And I found that part of the article to be quite fascinating, because all of a sudden, when the shoe was on the other foot, the reaction is quite different.
Yeah, it was interesting to me too, because of the timeline. You know, we're talking about Misty Gardner-Karfeld and Sarah Clendenin, who are both leaders of Health Freedom Idaho, which is an anti-vaccine organization that's been active for several years here in Idaho. And they've kind of taken the mantle on, you know, raging against pandemic public health restrictions as well, mm-hmm. not only vaccines, but, you know, mask requirements and, you know, any kind of shutdown that we had at the beginning of the pandemic in 2020. And so the timeline was, you know, Misty Gardner-Karlfeld posted on her Facebook page that call out, call St. Luke's, you know, share this, show up at the hospital and protest. And like you said, after the protest, this anonymous Twitter account posted the addresses, phone numbers, dates of birth, and Facebook pages of her and Sarah Clendenin, who we should say both of them are also running for office. Misty's running for controller, and Sarah Clendenin's running for District 15 Senate, both as constitutional party candidates. And so in this Facebook Live video that they posted, you know, they blasted the Twitter account for doxing them, calling it, quote, absolutely absurd and atrocious. It's really a petty way to try to incite fear into people, is what Gardner-Karlfeld said, saying that whoever did it is probably living in their mother's basement. And later that day, the two women recorded themselves in the neighborhood of Senator Fred Martin, who is Clendenin's political opponent, distributing flyers with his home address and phone number, which, as Audrey pointed out, you know, he's a publicly elected official, and that information is available on his legislative biography.
Mm-hmm. We have about 3 minutes left, and I would like to know what happened after the story came out last week, because, Jimmy, I understand there was a tweet at both you and Audrey from this David Pettinger individual.
There was, and it said basically, you know, stay tuned. We're going to have some fun on Good Friday. And from what I could tell, he was referencing just another kind of, I guess, not a flyer that was distributed, but just like an image that was created that he shared, kind of blasting Ada County Sheriff Matt Clifford I guess, supporting Doug Trobel, who was also up for the job, but is now challenging him in the upcoming election. So we did not get doxed, or at least I didn't. Audrey hasn't told me if she has, but I don't think so.
Well, and I would like to know that from both of you. I mean, yeah, Audrey, I mean, were you concerned about retaliation or doxing by you know, covering this story and looking in depth and looking at the legality of it? You know, all of these issues that come from this.
I just want to say real quick that flyer notably had no contact information on it. It just had their right. names mm-hmm. and it was, you know, political speech. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's part of what comes with being a reporter anymore is like you have to kind of be ready for that to happen potentially. Over the past 2 years, I've certainly gotten my share of emails and people coming to my personal Facebook page, like my mom mm-hmm. sees that, you guys. I mean, it might happen. I hope it doesn't. I don't know, Jimmy, how do you feel? I have not been doxxed at this point, but I'm pretty good about keeping my personal information off the internet too.
Yeah, that's same here. I've also had someone, you know, several months ago, get on my personal Facebook page and post something that I had posted, commented on some post I made like several years ago, you know, saying that I was, you know, pushing Nazi propaganda and stuff. So, like she said, it's kind of just something we have to expect. I have not been doxxed yet. Hopefully it doesn't happen, but it wouldn't necessarily be surprising.
Right. Well, I want to thank both of you for the work that you've done on this. We've been talking with Boise State Public Radio reporter James Dawson and Audrey Dutton, senior investigative reporter with the Idaho Capital Sun. We've been talking about their story on extremist groups doxing Idahoans. You can find their story on our website, boisestatepublicradio.org, or of course, go to the Idaho Capital Sun. It's definitely worth a read. Up next, we will talk to Boise's mayor about the Interfaith Sanctuary hearings going on this week. More Idaho Matters next.